Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. Excuse me. First of all, Dr. Dish. The number one shooting machine in the market, not only innovative in technology and customer service, and so easy to set up and use. I think a five-year-old could do it. I would not recommend it. It's not super safe, but it is a safe machine, but I wouldn't have a five-year-old using it. I don't think they could get it over the net. Mention Coach Unplugged and they could give you $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I started teachhoops.com because I was a high school coach. I wish this had been out there for me. You know, I've won at the highest level. We've won multiple state titles. We've been nationally ranked. But I wanted to share things that I thought would be helpful for a high school basketball coach or youth basketball coach, a college basketball coach. And that's why I started teachhoops.com, to make you a better basketball coach. And that's why we do one-on-one calls and office hours, and why I give a 14-day free trial, because I want to help you. And if you only need 14 days, go kick the tires. Maybe that's all you need. But anyway, go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast.
So Dave, I'm going to have you kind of, what I would love doing with my podcast, I know your history, but I'm going to have people tell kind of your basketball journey, your basketball story, kind of how you got into the game, maybe where you start, if you played, and kind of where you ended up. And then we'll talk about your school a little bit. We'll jump in and ask some questions. So Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you. Why don't you do an introduction of yourself and kind of just tell your basketball journey?
Sure. I'm Dave Strickland. I coach the women's basketball team at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon.
I'm going to interrupt 30 seconds. This might be the fastest interrupt. So explain the name of your community college. Is it a Native American?
It's Native American, and the school sits right on the Umpqua River. So it's right on the river.
And okay.
If you Google that, you'll see the Umpqua River is world famous for salmon and steelhead fishing. So fish for salmon right behind the math building if you want to fish from the back of the campus.
I know about steelhead because there's steelhead run in Wisconsin too. They're from the lakes, but interesting. All right. Coach Collins might have to take a road trip because I love fishing. All right. Wow.
Well, we'll set you up with some guides, and it's kind of funny because here you never hear it anywhere else, but here, I mean, it's you go to Umpqua Bank and we eat Umpqua ice cream, and you go to the Umpqua insurance agent and the Umpqua car dealer, and it's big time. It's okay. Big time brand recognition out here.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet it is. Keep going, Coach. Keep going.
So I started my dad was a big time player at Seattle University and played kind of the mid to late 50s with Elgin Baylor. They had some really good teams back then.
So for the young people, Elgin Baylor was really, really good. So look him up. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he was back. He was Dr. J and Michael Jordan back before before Dr. J and Michael Jordan.
But, right.
And so my dad, his college coach, took a job in California and at a high school and called my dad and said, hey, there's you know, I need a JV coach and a coach who want to come out here. So we moved from Seattle to Southern California. My dad coached high school basketball. It was a heyday back there of basketball. He introduced Lute Olson to the athletic director and stuff at Lowera High School, and that ended up to be Lute Olson's very first coaching job.
Wow.
Jerry Tarkanian was there in the, you know, in the mix. And so my dad coached high school basketball for several years, and then Golden West College was a two-year school in Huntington Beach, California, and it opened in the mid-60s, and my dad was hired to be the first men's basketball coach. So I grew up in a gym. I grew up in a gym in from as long as I can remember. It was first high school practices, and then it was community college practices.
Huntington Beach is gorgeous, isn't it? Like were you?
Yeah, the school was 2 miles. Yeah, the school was 2 miles from the beach, and even into my mid thirties, I would leave school and would ride down, straight shot to the beach, and there was a Huntington Beach City Gym. They had great pickup games there. And if you lost, you didn't feel too bad because you walked two blocks to the beach and waited until your game was up again. So I grew up with it.
And how long, before we jump into you more, how long did your dad stay there then?
He stayed there because he coached he coached the men for a long time, and he was getting a little burnout on it, and so he didn't really want to do it. They wouldn't let him retire. They said you have to coach the women, and so he coached the women for a couple of years, and then that's how I got into it because when it came time to get into coaching, then he had a spot I could be his assistant for 3 years. And that's how I kind of got into coaching women. And so it's a great family story. I said, I played for my dad. I coached with him. We played in city leagues together. We did. I mean, it's a great, it's a great, great story.
You didn't have to look very far to find a mentor. Holy cow.
No. And he's still, he is still, and I've been around a lot of coaches and as a kid, we had every Sunday night, there were coaches would come over to our house and they'd all sit around the kitchen table and move salt shakers and ketchup bottles. And it was like a clinic every Sunday night. And I got to sit there and listen to that stuff. And I've been around coaches for a long, long time. And my dad is still the best game coach that I've ever been around.
There's a knack to that.
I think there's
great practice coaches that aren't great game coaches. I think there's great game coaches that aren't great practice coaches. And it's like, you need both, to be honest with you.
Well, you do. And he was really good. And, and we hear a lot of coaches, man, I love practice. The games I don't really care about. I don't really, but I'm a practice guy. Yeah, that wasn't him. He was a game guy and would come up, he would watch something and we would make adjustments. Back when I played, even when we coached together, he would see something that we would probably all eventually see after we watched 4 or 5 hours of tape, but he would watch it and say, hey, let's try this. And sure enough, it would, done some great stuff, on change on it. One of the best examples of that are when my second year up here, third year maybe at Umpqua, my dad happened to be in town and he was still in California and he happened to be in town. And anytime he was, he sat on the bench and helped me out. And we were having a tough time scoring. And we had a girl that was really big. And probably 6'3", 280 big. And she was coming off a broken foot and she couldn't run. But she was a great shooter and possibly our best scorer. And we got down 8-10 points. And, you know, my dad had said, hey, well, why don't we put Lauren in and just leave her on offense? All right. Nothing else was working. So that's what we did. And we put her in the game. We left her down on offense. We went down from being down 8, won the game probably by 16 or 20. And the other
coach is probably talking to himself as he's leaving the gym too.
No, and wasn't very happy about it, to tell you the truth. And then actually the University of Oregon coaches were there and he had gone up to them and said, can you believe that, you know, screwing the game up? And they had said, hey, look, it's about time we see somebody actually make an adjustment to, you know, to the game. But so that was my, so he, the best I've ever been around. And I still talk to him. I still talk to him as much as I possibly can because he's still teaching me. He's still, he's
Are you guys playing? I didn't even ask that.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're not either.
They're telling us March 15th is
so
when
that's
we.
That's hopeful. I teach AP statistics and statistics all day. And if that's your start date, that's a realistic start date. Like I think that's a possibility. I think you got a really good shot at that, you know?
Well, we hope so, but that's what they're telling us. So we're limited on what we can do now. As far as practice, we can't have real practices right now, but hopefully that'll change as soon as they give us the.
So tell me how you ended up at from there, California, to where you are now, because you've been at where you are now for a while.
Well, the eight years I was a head coach at Golden West and the women, our average one loss record was 32-3. And I couldn't get a job. I was loading trucks at UPS from 2:30 to 7:30 in the morning. And then I was going to school and it was killing me. I had three young kids.
Right.
And I applied for, I don't know, a dozen jobs, interviewed for a dozen jobs. And that was at the time when everybody told me the same thing. Look, our staffs are, they're all predominantly male. We need a female on the staff. And every one of those places, you know, hired a female coach. And
right.
And so Umpqua was in a tournament in Southern California. And the guy, the athletic director, was a women's basketball coach. And he watched us play in a game. We had won the tournament. And he asked around. Everybody said, yeah, he's looking for a job. Some of them, I think, were just glad to see me go. They just wanted me to get out of there. And so he asked if I was interested and I said, I would, I'll call him when the season was over. And we got beat in the state championship game. And I went back, I called him and he said, oh, we'd love to have you, but you're too late. We've already committed to, you know, to somebody else. I was used to rejection at that point. And 3 days later, I never did find out what happened. 3 days later, they called back, said, hey, are you still interested? And I said, absolutely. And they said, okay, we need you to, you know, come up and interview tomorrow. And
what's the distance from there to where you are?
It was about 1,000 miles. So
that's what people forget how long that coast is. It's like, that's from, yeah. I can drive from Wisconsin to Florida in 1,000 miles. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in Southern Cal. So we're, you know,
yeah,
in Orange County, we were 2 hours north of the, you know, Mexico border and Roseburg's 2 hours north of the California border. So, but it didn't matter. It turned out it's a great, I would have taken it no matter where it was. I needed a full-time job. You really shouldn't be 35 years old and never had a full-time job before when you got three kids.
But the best part is you never worked a day in your life though. That's the good part.
Oh no, I never, that's what I said. I've told everybody, you know, that asks, yeah, ask my response is that it certainly beats working. That's for
sure. It's a good gig. It's a hard part. It's, and I'm telling you, the jobs haven't gotten any easier to get.
No, No, they're not. And that's probably why I've been here for so long, because you get to the point where you got a good thing going. I don't, you know, I'm not really ego driven where I don't need to.
Right. People have asked why I didn't leave when we were winning. It's like, why would I help build it? Why would I? Barry Alvarez, who was a UW football coach, came from Notre Dame, and Wisconsin wasn't very good when he took over. And then, you know, three Rose Bowls later and whatever, he goes, well, why would I leave? I spent all this time building the thing. You know, I'm putting 80,000 people in Camp Randall on a Saturday. Why would I leave? You know?
Right. And it's, you know, and it's, it, and I like the area, and we've been successful, and it's, yeah. And we're big time here. I mean, right. the closest college to us is University of Oregon. They're an hour away. So everybody thinks this is Kentucky or Indiana, right, or UConn or whatever. And so it's, and that's why I've been.
And that, and what's your recruiting circle? What's your radius? Like, how far do you go? That's interesting.
Well, so up until last year, we could recruit probably the western third of the United States up until about a year ago this time. So now, a year ago, they have opened it up worldwide. So I can, I can go talk to anybody. So
okay,
we have kids from 7 different states and Poland and Australia on our team this year.
And what's the biggest major, or what's the biggest draw for the school?
Well.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's a 2-year school, so it's all AA general ed stuff.
It is, yeah.
But the biggest, this sounds extremely, you know, cocky and that, but the biggest draw is me.
Right.
Because we've won a lot of games. I think I would have to go back and look, but in my, you know, coaching career total, we're pushing 140 girls that have played for me, that have gotten scholarships to 4-year schools. Nobody wants to play here. Nobody grows up saying my lifetime goal is to play community college basketball.
Right.
But once they decide that's the best option for them, then they want to go someplace where they're going to win games, get better, and have a
team.
And that's us. And so,
no, I love that. I mean, that's true. Well, I've noticed it too and I've had so many kids recruited. It's crazy. It's a trickle down. Like everyone, like on the boys side, everyone thinks they're playing for Kentucky or Duke. And then eventually it's a trickle down effect. It's like, well, you're not quite there. You're not, you know, it's like, and it's like, but the thing about yours is, unlike a Division III school, yours is like that dream is still alive for some of them. Cause yeah, maybe there's a reason, but
there's definitely a reason. There's a reason. And we tell everybody that, you know, I mean, in the nicest way possible, but we tell everybody the first day, look, there is something wrong with you or you wouldn't be here. Okay. It might be, who knows? Maybe it's you're an undersized post player. Maybe you're not quite athletic. Maybe your high school program wasn't very good. Maybe you didn't
play in the right AAU program. Maybe you didn't have grades that were quite there. That there's lots of variables.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes maybe your work ethic isn't good, or sometimes maybe, I mean, there's a million.
Well, yeah. Well, it's a hard way. And you and I have coached long enough. It's a hard way. It's like, sometimes you just want to say you're just not quite mature enough. Like you can't, there's a roundabout way of saying that, but it's like, you just need to grow up a little bit. And in 2 years, you're going to be a totally different human being. And
well, sometimes it's 1 year. Sometimes the 4-year schools just want to see that you can be in a college atmosphere, and like you said, and be mature and take care of business and do the things that you need to do. And once they see that you're out of your comfort zone and you can survive, now that changes how people look at you sometimes.
No, I agree. I think that's so true. So tell me about your coaching philosophy. Let's say I always use this. Let's say I came to your gym and you didn't know I'm invisible. I'll do Harry Potter-ish. I have a cloak and you don't see me for a couple of days. What would I see? And what's your philosophy? Cause I think that always intrigues people.
Yeah, we're going to, number one, I know defense wins championships. People talk about that all the time. I get that. Our emphasis is on offense. And the reason is because my primary objective is to get players from our school someplace else.
Right.
And so our goal is to score 90 points a game. So if we score 90 points a game, we've got, you know, last year we had 6 people average double figures. We have a lot of assists. We have a lot of highlight tapes. We have a lot of.
And if you score 90, you're going to win most of those games, I'm guessing.
And we're going to win. And we're going to win a lot of. And we're going to win a lot of, a lot of games. And so our emphasis is going to be on the offensive end, because even though the 4-year coaches talk defense, they hardly ever recruit defense. Because I tell them every year, I got a girl on my team who, you know, she shoots 20% and can't hit a shot to save her life, but she is a great lockdown defender and not that many people are interested in her.
No. Here's one of the issues. I mean, you can tell me this as a college coach. I think the difference between the levels sometimes is, can you defend the ball?
Yeah. We tell them, look, you are who you can defend. That's what
level. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Cause I see on the boys stretch, it's like, This kid's got, like, he can do these 3 things really well at the highest level, but he can't defend anybody at that level. So he can't play at that level. He's going to play at this next level or the next one. You are. I like that expression. I like that.
Yeah. That's what we tell you, are who you can, who you can defend. And so, and you don't necessarily have to be, you don't necessarily have to be a lockdown defender, but your offense has to be good enough to make up for whatever deficiencies.
Right. And you better be able to keep them in front of you. Now, did they move the line back for you guys? I haven't had a college coach in a while. Have they moved the line back?
Well, they've not yet. They're
okay.
They were going to start it with the men.
Right. And okay.
They had it. And then all this hit, they were going to start it with the men the D1 men have moved back, and then everybody non-D1 had a year, and then the women were going to be behind that.
Well, okay, because I know D3 got pushed back because it was a financial thing. Like, we'll just pause it for a year, and then, okay.
Yeah, and that's what they've done, and that's what they did, everybody non-D1, and now when COVID hit financially, so now it's on pause for another year.
Another year at least. You never know, yeah.
But I don't know if that makes that much difference. I mean,
I don't think it does from a percentage. I think the percentages will initially drop a little bit, math teacher, but it won't be significant, I don't think. So what do you look for in a recruit?
Well, so
here's the bigger question that I have. It's like, how do you go in those gyms in the summer and differentiate? Because you and I could walk in the gym and find the top 5 girls in about 30 seconds. And maybe even top 20, but you're not getting the top 20.
No.
So how do you, that's what I find that so intriguing from a mathematical coaching standpoint, that how do you do that? Like, it's noise to me. And I'm there usually coaching or watching my kids, but it's like, oh my, I don't know how you guys do that.
Yeah. It's a, I don't know. I think it's an acquired skill. I think I'm better at it now than I was 20 years ago.
Right.
And trying to determine, but I don't know. There's a lot of people, I go into the gym and say, guys, she would be a great player at our level. And then you do some checking and she's signed at some mid-major at school. I'm saying that, I'm not really seeing that necessarily, but I don't know. We're not at the point where we can't really select on. I mean, we're trying to find the best players that we can find. So we've had some teams where we've been, where we've been huge. A couple years ago, Kelly Graves at University of Oregon came in and watched his play, and he said, "Man, you're bigger than 3/4 of the Pac-12 teams."
Right.
We've had some years where we've had, our tallest girl was, was 5'10", and we had a whole bunch that were, so we're trying to find, the best players that we possibly can, and we need, and we want players that kind of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and who want to bet on themselves. We want players.
They're betting on themselves is a big part of it. Like, I think that's, I play at that level. Like, yeah.
Because they want to go on, because we want them to say, "Hey, look, I, for whatever reason, I got overlooked. I got, however they, I got slept on." That's what everybody's being slept on. Well, we want those players because they're going to come and work hard to prove everybody else wrong. And so those are the types of players that we're looking. And then we're going to get the best players that we can. And then we're going to work on how we're going to put it all together.
And how you're going to make it better. How does that window work for you then? Is it like post, this intrigues me. Is it like post signing date? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at all these kids that didn't get signed. How does that work for you?
Yeah.
Or is it late spring? Like,
well, for us, this is COVID's caused us to change a little bit now because everybody's in kind of a panic.
Right.
Right now and not, but typically we, start recruiting about in January because, because we want the players, because everybody we talk to thinks they're going big. And those are the players that we want.
Right.
You're trying to figure
the ones that someone missed or they trickle. Yeah.
We're never, and we tell them, right, look, I get it. We're not anybody's first choice, but we're a pretty good second choice or third choice.
Right.
And so we're right there. So all of a sudden, by the time the first of the year comes, the early signing dates passed. Now we can talk to somebody in January and say, "Hey, look, if these schools aren't talking to you now, it's probably not, going."
What I say is they're not asking you to the dance. Time to move on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And so
you're not getting asked. Time to move on. Like they were fishing to maybe ask you out to prom, but now they're not asking you. Yeah.
Yep. And so it happens later. And that's the way it needs to. Cause if somebody were to commit to me, in November, then, and if somebody else, if a D1 school called them in January, most of those kids aren't saying, "Oh no, sorry. I can't go mid-major because I'm going to Umpqua." I already told Umpqua Community College. Right. Yeah, nobody's going to do that.
Right.
And then we would be left.
So your window is a little bit smaller then. This is when I got to fill my roster out. Like,
well, yeah, but we're recruiting sometimes to, we can recruit from Jan to the day school starts.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh, I never thought of that.
I mean, we can go all spring, all summer and sometimes holding a spot to the very end has paid off sometimes because, things happen. Somebody hasn't gotten into school that they thought, somebody's had, something has happened.
Financial issues at home. You never know.
But yeah. we always laugh because all spring, I get more commitments the day after high school graduations probably than anybody. Because all spring, everybody tells their friend, they can go to senior breakfast, they can tell everybody at the high school, "Yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm gonna do. I'm thinking of Wisconsin or Notre Dame or right. University of Oregon or Umpqua Community College or Stan," and so they throw our name out there, but nobody, because they want to. But then as soon as graduation comes and they realize, okay, well, yeah, those other people are out of the picture, then
it comes.
Then the commitments start to come. So
I love that. I love, this is great. So if you could talk to one coach, not your dad, one coach for an hour, who would you talk to?
Yeah, I think I would. I think it would be
living or dead. I'll even add that to that because I usually give people living or dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would like to sit down and talk to it would probably be Gino Auriemma at Connecticut. I just think that
He's intriguing to me. He's very intriguing to me.
Yeah. And he started, you know, he started that program basically from scratch. You know, it's the same thing we talked about. You know, he could go anywhere he wanted. He could coach any place where he wants.
He could have gone high men's.
Yeah.
If he'd wanted to. There's like four or five women's coaches that I'd swear could have jumped if they'd wanted to. I think some women could have jumped to the men's game. They're that good. But yeah.
Yeah. You know, so he's still in Storrs, Connecticut. It's not big time. He's still, you know, where he could have left. You know, and I think that, you know, I think with him, like with a lot of people, it's sustained success. You know, it's like all the championships that you've won and the players, you know, it's not anybody can get lucky once, you know, right? Anybody can have
I'm telling you, I tell people, so we won 14, like in the largest division in the state, we won 14, I think it was 14, 13, 14. I don't even remember anymore. Conference championships in a row. Because that was sustained success.
Hey everybody, I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins's other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review. Maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.